Good evening. Welcome to Families and Recovery. My name is Bill, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Kathy.
Hello.
And tonight's show is on action and reactions.
What are you saying?
I said actions and reactions.
Why are you saying it that way?
Well, I wanted to say it that way.
I thought maybe you'd come across with a different tone.
No, that's a tone I wanted. Tonight's show is about action and reaction. What, do you want a different way?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. Yeah. All right, everybody. That is our topic for tonight.
That's good.
All right.
We thought we'd show you an example.
There's an example. Anyway, tonight's show, like I said, action and reaction. We're here at the City of Angels, and you can reach Kathy and I at Kathy with a C, C-A-T-H-Y, and Bill at cityofangelsnj.org. We'd love you to email us in, tell us your thoughts, anything you want to ask us, questions, and so on for future shows. If you're in need of some help right now and want some guidance or counsel or you know, intercession here or something, you could call City of Angels at 609-910-4942. City of Angels is a great organization that has many programs, 12-step programs, Healing Your Scars Recovery, Creative Recovery, Laughter Recovery, and of course our show, Families in Recovery. The good news is Kathy and I now have a City of Angels Facebook page for our show. And they could find that on, just go to Facebook and type in Families and Recovery.
And you can like us, please.
Yeah, please like us. We like to see how many people are following us out there.
And we really want you to like comment, you know, write comments.
Yeah, we want input. We want feedback. Stuff that you've learned, that the show has blessed you with, put out there on Facebook. Say, I really like this thought you gave me, and I was able to work with it and use it. All right, so let me explain tonight. Like I said, is action and reaction, and we're going to go through and define both of those, and then we're going to turn around and say, well, how can you recognize those, recognizing the behavior of reacting? And then, of course, we're going to talk about how to stop that reacting and to act in a manner that would be in accordance with our values, ethics, morals, etc. We'll have a little story segment in here, and then we'll recap the whole thing for you tonight. So right now, we have our opening charge, and Kathy is going to read us that.
And again, I took it out of The Language of Letting Go, and it's on page 73. Excuse me. And it's called Empowering. You can think, you can feel, you can solve your problems, you can take care of yourself. Those words have often benefited me more than most profound and elaborate advice. How easy is it to fall into a trap of doubting ourselves and others? When someone tells us about a problem, what is our reaction? Do we believe we need to solve it for the person? Do we believe that the person's future rests on our ability to advise him or her? That stands on shaky ground, not the stuff of which recovery is made. When someone is struggling through a feeling or a morass of feelings, what is our reaction? That the person will never survive the experience? That it's not okay to have someone feel? That he or she will never get through this intact? When a person is faced with the task of assuming responsibility for their life and behavior, what is our response? That the person can't do that? I must do it myself to save him or her from dissipating into ashes, from crumbling, from falling. What is our reaction to ourselves when we encounter a problem, a feeling, or when we face the prospect of assuming responsibility for ourselves? Do we believe in ourselves and others? Do we give power to people, including ourselves and their ability? Or do we give the power to the problem, the feeling, or the irresponsibility? We can learn to check out ourselves. We can learn to think and consider our response before we respond. I'm sorry you're having that problem. I know you can figure out a solution. Sounds like you got some feelings going on. I know you'll work through them and come out on the other side. Each of us is responsible for ourselves. That does not mean we don't care. It does not mean a cold, calculated withdrawal of our support from others. It means we learn to love and support people in ways that work. It means we learn to love and support ourselves in ways that work. It means that we connect with friends who love and support us in the ways that work. To believe in people, to believe in each person's inherent ability to think, feel, solve problems, and take care of themselves is a great gift we can give and receive from others. Today, I will strive to give and receive support that is pure and empowering. I will work at believing in myself and others and our mutual abilities to be competent at dealing with feelings, solving problems, and taking responsibility for ourselves.
Very good. Thanks, Kath, for that opening charge. And tonight, we're ready to head on in. We're going to start off with defining reaction and actions. Okay,
so now we're going to get into defining reacting. So reacting means to act again or to react. Reacting is based on what we already know and often so well that we do it automatically. You know, some reactions are very useful. You know, if we're in an emergency situation and we pull our hand back from a hot furnace or jump away from an oncoming car, that's certainly a reaction that's really good in an emergency situation. But
yeah, I think we need to recognize there's unhealthy reactions. And we're going to talk a little bit about them as we continue down into this segment here. So the point is we recognize the mechanism for our reaction. What am I talking about? Something initiates our response. Your addict comes home and says, can I move in with you? And all of a sudden, you know, I'm reacting. I'm ranting and raving. I'm yelling, criticizing, putting down. And in the end, you probably give in and let him in. But, you know, so we're reacting. What is the what triggered that, your responses? When you think about the way you're reacting to people, angry or upset or quick flare temper or quick response or upset or, you know, this is creating my world is a chaos, you're reacting. What is the mechanism? We want to talk about that because if we could become aware of the mechanism that triggers our unhealthy responses, then we could take steps to alleviate that, minimize it, or even eliminate it. We could become much more successful in the way that we interact with the problems going around us with the addict and so on. So we want to see, let's see how it works, all right? So Kath, start us off with something here.
So like we said earlier, is reacting can be a very useful survival tool, and it's based on experience that we've already had. Some experience are useful to remember, and remembering them at the right moment could really save our lives. But the problem is when we react to the present situation, which is similar to the past one.
Yeah, yeah. So, and what she means is this. Let me give you an example. Let me give you a good example. You live in the Midwest, or even here in New Jersey, Pines, whatever. There's rattlesnakes, whatever, or a snake in your back. And you reach down, you're working your garden, and a snake bites you. You're going to react to that. You're going to react in fear, panic. You're going to go to hospital and everything. However, an overreaction would be that you are now afraid of every creeping, crawling lizard, you know, anything. That's overreaction to a one-time event.
Right.
You see, other examples would be this. I'm walking down a hall in a hotel. And the elevator door opens. And I see guys in there with guns shooting somebody. Screaming, ranting, raving, I'm going to be traumatized. And you know what's going to happen? When I walk down a hotel in the future and I go toward an elevator, what do you think is going to happen? Mm-hmm. Inside of me is going to be a natural reaction. I'm going to have like this anticipation as I near that elevator. Even though the probability of an event like that happening again are very slim, I've been impacted by that event. And so that past event impacts my existing.
Exactly.
Example I have is I had a buddy years ago, this story where some kids were shooting off fireworks, but they had some pretty big fireworks. And this neighbor of mine was in the Vietnam War. And he shared with me that he was up on the ladder painting his house and these kids shot off some of these big fireworks. Boom, boom. He said he let go the ladder and flew down 20 feet in the air and hit the ground rolling because he was reacting to a past experience that traumatized him, or that he had a negative bad experience in the past. And just the sound of them fireworks going off made him react today. It was not appropriate response today. He was not under fire. There weren't bombs falling down, but yet his body had that. So if we could recognize our mechanisms that are affecting the way we relate to people, you know, your parents have always told you what to do, and now you get angry when anyone asks you to do something. You see? So in the past, as a child, your parents would constantly harp on you, and you had negative experience. And now anytime somebody comes up to you and just wants to ask you to get involved with something, you react negatively. You had an abusive father, and now you think all men are abusers. You see? If you thought your parents didn't love you, you think that anyone who expresses their love is a phony or lying, is not honest. You see what I'm saying? So I hope you could think what I'm saying over and over, listen to this over and over, and get it in your head when these past experiences, and I'm reacting to current events from that perspective of the past experience. That's right.
So you get the idea. Certain words and behaviors of people or whatever events, you know, they push your buttons or triggers and they of the past, and then you're simply reacting to your past. You have no choice and no free will in the matter. You can now begin to see how the behaviors are detrimental.
Yeah. I had a personal one. My mother had seven children, and she struggled to keep us in line. And so she used corporal punishment back in the 60s and so on. You used corporal punishment. And I called my mom a rageaholic. So she would lose her temper and scream, rant, rave, throw things at you, and so on. It wasn't until years later at work, as I'm working, I had begun to realize that I was afraid or a little intimidated by assertive, the positive statement, or aggressive women. And at first, I didn't understand why I was nervous with this anticipation around these women until I finally figured it out. Well, because Mom overreacted to events, and her overreaction hurt me as a child. So as I grew up, I'm reacting to these events, you see? So now we're going to go into this. We're going to say, well, how does this affect you in the way you respond to and interact with addict in your family, and including your spouse, yourself, and other people? We're going to see. So hopefully you got this down in your head about reacting in the past from negative past experiences and how you bring it into current interactions.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
So there's a big difference then between responding and reacting. Let's define action. See, when you think of acting, I want to act. I want to act in a behavior to conduct according to what I feel would be my values, my ethics, and my morals. Where I would handle myself in such a way with dignity that I have defined, not in a way that is being dictated from negative past experiences.
Correct.
So I want to operate or function in a specific way that I determine I want to act. And I'm saying this because I know for a lot of us who react, we're not happy with the way we react.
No.
We're not happy how we're acting around our family, ranting, raving, screaming, blaming, cursing, humiliating, playing blame games, emotional games. You hurt me. You do that. All out of these responses we react to. And this brings us to an alternative to react. And that is to bring being responsible for your actions. And that means it. You kind of say it this way. Your response, a bull. So, you know, response, R-E-S-P-O-N-S-E, dash, a bull. Responsible. You're responsible for your actions. So you may need to do some work, as we have just explained. I have explained, I've done my work with recognizing assertive or angry women, aggressive women, could intimidate me, and I've done my work now, and I've done steps to counter that so I could be in their presence and not be reacting.
Exactly.
So you want to be able to do the same thing, how to help yourself live the life you want without reacting.
Yeah, so what does this really mean? And more important, how do you become responsible? So here's a good example that you go to the doctors for medication and you return for a follow-up visit. In one case, the doctor says you were reacting to the medication. In the other case, the doctor said you were responding to the treatment. So you see what the difference is. Reacting to the medication means you're not acting. It's not working for you. You're having an allergic reaction.
Yeah, negative impact.
Negative impact. Whereas the other one, when you said you're responding to treatment, it means your body is accepting it. It's taking it in.
Yeah, so you're responding in an appropriate way to the medication. And we want your life to be the same way, that you respond to life events mm-hmm. in a positive way, not reacting to life events in a negative way. And for most people, when they think of responsibility, we have a negative and distorted reality in relation to responsibility. Because think about it. If you want to think of responsibility, you think about fault finding. You know, it's your fault. See, you're holding mm-hmm. somebody responsible. I blame you for what has happened, or shame, shame on you. You know, you're responsible and you should feel guilty or shame. So the way we think of responsibility, we think even of that in a negative way. And we want to change that, because there's a difference between growing up with shame, guilt, feeling less than fault. You see what I'm saying? And one I think about is when you got a divorce, the marriage collapsed, your child starts acting out and doing drugs, and you blame yourself, you're fault finding, you criticize yourself, you feel terrible about yourself, you blame yourself, and then you end up enabling that addict son because you're trying to respond to this past experience and make up for it with your son, so you help them to live out their addict life.
Well, yeah, another way to look at it is a positive way to take responsibility and look at responsibility is a willingness to deal with the situation from the point of view that you are the one who has a choice about how you're going to act in a certain situation. So it's like, think of responsibility as, how am I going to act in this situation?
Yeah, and to do that, what I think about is, if I'm going to ask myself how I'm going to respond to this event, I always think about, there is a moment between any stimulus or interaction and your response. Mm-hmm. Again, let's go back to your addict comes to your door. Knock, knock. Ma, I want to move back home. Can I come back home? And they're going to give you a sob story. This happened. I lost my job. Well, they lost the job because of the drugs. But anyway, I lost my drugs. Girlfriend kicked me out. Can I move back home? And you have a moment right there before you say your first words about how you're going to react to it. And if you're going to react from past experiences and rant and rave, scream and so on. And I think about that one moment. You've heard people say, count down from 10 mm-hmm. second rule before you respond. Mm-hmm. Well, you may want to think about putting that into effect, you know, before you even start. So it is a matter of free choice, how you're going to respond. And so if we could check ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we do, let's check ourselves before I respond. Yeah, right. And I mm-hmm. think of you one time. You were talking about the addict in your life one time.
Oh, where, yeah. Well, he came home and asked us something. And I said, if I say something right now, I'm going to be reacting. And I'm going to say something I don't want to say. And I don't want him to hear me say it. So I just need some time to think that over, so that at another time I can act in my own benefit, which will actually benefit
right.
him also.
The values you want, because I'm thinking, yes, you're going to react at that person. You're probably going to rant and rave and scream at that person because you really don't want them to come home and you wish their life was better off going somewhere else. So you're reacting to that and you're rant and raving, screaming. And then, like I said, in the end, a lot of the enablers allow them to come home anyway.
Right.
So you're not acting on your values, ethics, and morals,
no,
which would
not
say no. You need to be an adult and grow up and take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Instead, you're reacting to it.
Right.
And so, you know, the intentional choice should be in accordance with your values, with your ethics and morals, not some reaction based on some feeling or association or thought from past. So you're saying, I don't even know if I'm reacting from the past. Well, that's what we're going to hope to help you figure out. Why are you overreacting to events in your life, and,
right,
and how do we recognize them? That's coming up in our next sections.
Another thing that you can define acting is to realize that no one can make you feel or do anything ever, unless you're, of course, being in a position of being attacked or something. You are ultimately the one who will make the choice and reap the consequences of your actions.
Yeah, because many of us have heard a statement of somebody turning around and saying, you made me do this. Mm-hmm. If you didn't do this, you made me do this. And that's not true.
You could
take control of your life and act in a manner that's appropriate with dignity.
Absolutely.
According to your values. We're going to teach you how to do that. So thank you for this section. The next section is going to be signs and awareness of when you're reacting. So we're going to give you examples and so on, so you could start to identify when you're doing it in your life. Because if you could identify it, you could stop it.
Absolutely. Okay, so now our next segment is we're going to go into signs that you are reacting. And a quote from Rita Mae Brown says, "A life of reaction is a life of slavery, intellectual and spiritual. One must fight for a life of action, not reaction."
Yeah, that is very good. When you think of action and reactions, they are two opposite ends of the spectrum in reaction to could be a same event. So an event takes place, an exchange takes place, and I'm going to come from reaction or I'm going to come from action based upon the dignity, values, ethics, and morals that I want, or I'm going to be reacting from my past. And you could march an army through the gap that these are so far apart. It's all about control. I am trying to control that addict.
Then instead of controlling the addict or the other person, you're really out of control yourself.
Yeah, you're out of control. Yeah, you think you can control them, but actually you're out of control. If you're reacting to someone else, then you're kind of giving them the control. They're controlling you, your emotional responses by, you know, doing what they're doing. But really, they're not. You're responding to it. So this control thing is all out of whack, pulling your strings, dictating how you're going to respond to these things. So in reality, you want to be in control, but you're not in control.
Exactly.
You want to be in control. You want to control the addict's life, but you can't be in control. So
you can't.
It's really messed up thinking that we think we can control, fix, heal, and make well these other people's lives. They're individuals. They got freedom of choice to choose to get healthy or not. And we all know that as codependents and overfunctions, dysfunctional families of addicts, that we're actually hurting them.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, so the first sign, number one, that you're reacting is when someone does something you don't like, you immediately get upset, flustered, or annoyed and respond in a split second to their behavior, thinking everything is a crisis. Typically, your response involves intensity and some anger. So you react to everything that comes your way, trying to please others, wallowing in emotions resulting from another's actions, defending ourselves and trying to convince others. These are all reactions.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you see yourself in any of those split second? I mean, I've been there 1,000 times. I could react. You struggle with staying calm, you know, and not getting upset at times of interaction. These are signs that you're probably over-responding, overreacting to the event. You should be able to stay calm through that. And then you got you're normally reactionary. Anger, guilt, shame, self-hate, worry, hurt. You're defensive. You know, you got controlling gestures. You're trying to stop them, put your hands up. Caretaking, depression, desperation. You're reacting out of fear, anxiety, right? Come on, you all know you're anxious.
And those are really big traits of codependency right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Another one is when you react to a loved one's addiction, you're always wondering what will happen and what will you do when the other shoe drops. It's certainly not a happy way to live.
No.
And you're drowning in your loved one's addiction. That's definitely a sign that you're in a reaction space.
So, and we know right now, you're listening to this program and you're a family of addicts. We know right now that these are traits you should be and are relating to, you know.
And another one is when someone reacts to a situation, they blame the person or situation. You know, we live in a blaming society.
Yeah, think about what you're doing is you're blaming them for your peace or lack of peace. Oh, my child's causing me all kinds of headaches. He's doing this. I can't sleep at night. All I can do is I stay up till 3 or 4 in the morning worrying and wondering and blaming them for your inability to find peace in your life, regardless of the choices they make in life.
Yeah, so when we're reacting, we're also in a place of humiliating, judging, blaming, and reacting. They're destructive and, you know, it makes our life and the other person's hard, you know? Yeah,
by responding in that way, humiliating people, judging people, and so on. So another sign, so number two, that's all number one there, with different types of staying calm and the reactionary response of guilt, shame, and, you know, responding to the addict's exchange with you. Number two is when friends of yours, loved ones or friends of yours, say things to you like, man, you really blew them away just then. Meaning your reaction
was,
or calm down. So you get hints. They say to you, do you really need to get that upset?
Mm-hmm.
These are hints. And if you've heard your friend say anything similar to these, it tells you that you're probably overreacting out of control.
Mm-hmm.
You think that when someone screws up, you have the right. This is number three. When you think someone screws up, you have the right to yell at them and loudly defend yourself. After all, it was they who screwed up, right? So again, most people who are reactive, they play that blame game, which Kathy mentioned in the first one, and you justify that blame game because of their stupidity, their irresponsibleness, their thoughtless behavior. But you're saying because of all that, you're blaming them for your inability to have peace. You're overreacting. They, you react and believe because it's about, them that you don't have the peace.
Yeah.
And Kath, you read that in your opening charge. Listen, she's going to go back and read the sentence. Listen to what it
says. We can learn to check ourselves out. We can learn to think and consider our response before we respond. I'm sorry you're having that problem. I know you can figure out a solution. Sounds like you got some feelings going on. I know you'll work through them and come out on the other side.
Yeah. So there's a response that's more of a positive response. Working with the person who's knocking at your door saying, I'm upset, Mom, or this or that, and you're overreacting to that. Instead, you could take care of yourself and be able to say, yeah, I hear that you're going through some tough times. And you can be comfortable with them. I've always said that, they're allowed to have their feelings. And you're trying to shut them down by your reaction. So why don't you just acknowledge their feelings? Yeah, I hear you've lost your job. That's pretty tough. What are you going to do? Matter of fact, we had a friend here this week who said somebody kicked them out of the house.
Oh, yeah.
They're renting a place, and somebody said to them, we want you out in 2 days, 48 hours. And they came to our house. We didn't offer them our house. We just sat there and said, well, how are you handling it? How are you feeling? What are you going to do? What are your options? And just help them figure it out. Help them grow up. Help them come up with a solution and what they wanted. And they did. They came up with solutions and it really worked out. And we allowed them just to bounce their ideas off us. We didn't have to problem solve for them. We didn't have to heal them. We didn't have to find all their solutions. Emotions, behaviors, being controlled and triggered by everything and everyone around us. That's a sign. If you're constantly reacting to everything around us, that's a sign.
Yeah, and another sign is number four. You find yourself reacting in the moment and then you regret it later or paying for it later. You know, you're like a puppet being pulled by everything outside of yourselves.
Yeah.
You know, you either have actions or you have reactions and all that brings with it, as in reproach, regret, repentance, remorse, repine, and resentment. Those are all things that come along with reacting. And also, we usually do the first thing that comes into our mind. We react without thinking about what we need to do and what is best for us.
Yeah, that really starts to trigger us off when we think about what is best for us. We're really always, think about it. You're always reacting to what they should be doing, and what they're doing to you emotionally, but what they should be doing and how they should be fixing their life and how you got to do that for them. But really, what is best for us? what is best for us is I may not need you to be in contact with me. You need to go talk to City of Angels and have them help you work out a program of recovery. You know, when you're reacting to a situation, you're really actually not taking care of your best interest. Reacting is a reflective move that takes no thought. You're just reflecting because remember the bomb went off if you're in Vietnam and you're just reacting to it, or your father was nasty to you and you're just reacting to it, or your mother was needy and you're reacting to it. And so your addict comes home needy and you're reacting to it. And when you're in that state of mind, you cannot make healthy decisions for you. And you see, and so you're not thinking, but you're reacting to the first feeling that comes your way. And so we're going to talk about how do we check that and what are our steps then to say, oh, I want to stop reacting from my past and the way I'm reacting to the addict and people in my lives. In reality, when we're reacting, we forfeit our personal God-given power to think, feel, and behave in our best interest. We allow others to determine when we'll be happy, when we will be peaceful, when we will be upset, what we will say, what we will do, what we will feel. We forfeit our right to a peaceful environment and life at the whim of others. And so you could see your life is out of control, and we want to talk about, wait a minute, how am I supposed to be able to position myself so that I'm reacting in a healthy way? Reacting usually does not work. You know, when you're yelling at people, blaming people, humiliating people, judging people, it doesn't work. You can see it hasn't worked in your addict's life. It has not taught them how to become responsible for their lives. All you've done is create and stirred up the pot in an unhealthy manner. We react too quickly with way too much intensity and urgency and can't do anything in that state of mind.
Definitely. Some of the reasons that we react, it's because we're anxious or afraid about what happened, what will happen, or what is happening. We live in a crisis for a long time. We think things should be happening differently. We don't feel good about ourselves.
People react. Most people will react to these things that are going on in their lives. And so we have to become aware of these and then take the steps to have a healthy response. And that's what we're going to go into next section, which would be how to stop reacting and act and respond in a healthy, proper way.
Okay, so we've reached our spiritual section for tonight, and we're going to be addressing the issue still of reaction and action and what's in our best interest. And we're going to be learning about the story of Balaam and his donkey. And we could find that in Numbers 22, and I'm going to be reading parts of it and sort of trying to tell you the story. So we have a king, and his name was Balak, and he was from Moab. And he sent some messengers to call Balaam, who lived in the area of Mesopotamia, and he was reported to possess supernatural powers, and his fame had reached the land of Moab. And Balaam was once a good man, a prophet of God, but he had left God and had given himself up to greed and pride, but he still professed to be a servant of the Most High God. Balak's message to Balaam was, "Look, a vast horde of people have arrived from Egypt. They are God's people, the Israelites, and they cover the face of the earth and are threatening me. Please come and curse these people for me because they are too powerful. Then perhaps I will be able to conquer them and drive them from the land. I know that blessings fall on any people you bless and curses fall on the people you curse." Balaam wasn't ignorant that God's work in the behalf of the Israelites. And when the messengers announced their errand, he knew well that it was his duty to refuse the rewards of Balak and to dismiss the ambassadors. But the bribe of costly gifts and the prospect of exaltation excited his pride and greed. And that brings me to my first question regarding us is, how often do we desire a particular end result and jump right in to make it happen? Balaam wanted the fame and riches promised him. So is this the same with us? Do we jump right in, react to a situation, and start to talk about what we want and what others should do so that we can be content and happy and get some credit for something? I know that I've often just jumped right in and said some things that I wish I hadn't said. So, all right, so that night, God came to Balaam and asked him, "Who are these men that are visiting you?" And Balaam said to God, oh, Balak wants me to go and curse these people. And God said to Balaam, well, you can't go with them. You are not to curse these people, for they have been blessed. They're my people. So the next morning, Balaam got up and reluctantly told the officials, go on home. The Lord will not let me go with you. But then he changed his mind and told them, well, stay here another night and I'll see if the Lord has anything else to say to me. So God did come back to Balaam that night and said, if the men come to call on thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I say unto you, that is what you will say. So the next morning, Balaam had received permission to go with the messengers from Moab if they came in the morning to call upon him. But the people had not come to call upon him because they just figured he wasn't going to go with them. So they went on home, but Balaam was determined to secure the reward. And taking the donkey upon which he was accustomed to ride, he set out on the journey. He pressed eagerly forward, impatient lest he should by some means fail to gain the coveted reward. But the angel of the Lord stood in the way against him. The donkey saw the divine messenger, who was unperceived by the man, and turned aside from the highway into a field. So Balaam started to beat the poor donkey to bring him back into the path. But again, in a narrow place shut in by a wall, the angel appeared, and the animal, trying to avoid the menacing figure, crushed her master's foot against the wall. Balaam was blinded to the heavenly angel and knew not that God was obstructing his path. The man became exasperated and was beating his donkey unmercifully, forced it to proceed. Again, in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left, the angel appeared as before in a threatening attitude, and the poor beast, trembling with terror, made a full stop and fell to the earth under its rider. And Balaam continued to beat her. So this brings me to mind of what some things that we might also do in these situations. In this case, he started to beat his donkey because he wouldn't go on the path Balaam wanted. How often do we start to react and cause pain to those around us and also ourselves when we react to something instead of being calm and acting out on our own behalf? Perhaps some around you is being codependent, so you step in and start to complain and take their inventory and let them know how codependent they are, and then you run out feeling all justified and angry at them. Well, what did you just do? You acted out your own codependency by taking their inventory, and then who looks like an unbalanced person? No longer looks like the person you're angry or upset about. So, you know, it just gives us some thoughts about what we do to others in our reacting, not realizing what's going on around us, just like the donkey saw the angel and Balaam didn't. So then we hear more of the story that the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. What have I done to you that you deserve that I deserve your beating me three times? It asked Balaam. You have made me look like a fool, Balaam shouted. If I had a sword with me, I would have killed you. But am I the same donkey you've ridden all your life? The donkey answered. Have I ever done anything like this before? No, Balaam admitted. So that brings me to my next question, that for all the listeners out there, once we're in the midst of reacting to a situation, how many of us lose all sense of reality and start talking to the donkey who just spoke to us? Okay, so I know for myself and for many of you that you probably move into that space of abusive words and actions to things that make no sense when you are reacting instead of acting. I know that I've done it, and I think back later and I'm like, oh my goodness, what was I saying? And here we have Balaam actually conversing with a donkey when, if he had been in a better position and been thinking about what was going on, he might have realized, I'm talking to a donkey. So back to the story. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam bowed his head and fell face down on the ground before him. Why did you beat your donkey these three times? The angel of the Lord demanded. Look, I have come to block your way because you are stubbornly resisting me. Three times the donkey saw me and shielded you away. Otherwise, I certainly would have killed you by now and spared the donkey. Then Balaam confessed to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. I didn't realize you were standing in the road to block my way. I will return home if you are against my going. But the angel of the Lord told Balaam, go and meet with Balak's officials. But remember, you will only say what I allow you to say. The program gives us many tools and educates us on what best to do in situations. Balaam knew that even if he went to curse the people, that God would prevent him from doing so. How often do we know we are doing the wrong thing, knowing the end result will not be a good outcome, but we do it anyway? So Balaam went with Balak on the top of the mountain, and here is the message that he said. Come, he said, curse Jacob for me. Come and announce Israel's doom. But how can I curse those who God has not cursed? And how can I condemn those who the Lord has not condemned? Then King Balak demanded of Balaam, what have you done to me? I brought you to curse my enemies. Instead, you have blessed them. But Balaam replied, I can only speak what the Lord puts into my mouth. And so he probably didn't even end up getting the reward. And he ended up blessing the Israelites instead of cursing them. So my question and my challenge to you is, maybe before you react next time to a situation, before, ask yourself, are you smarter than a donkey? You might want to breathe, take a moment, pray, and ask God to give you wisdom in this situation so you can see clearly as the donkey did in this story. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of consequences and apologies to make that will not be good for anyone involved. So I hope that you can take something from this story about Balaam and his donkey and realize that if we act on our own behalf, it's going to be better for everybody else involved and ourselves. But if we react, we're going to go into an area of trouble like Balaam did, and you're going to probably end up doing some really silly things and regretting it later. So, okay, so now we'll go on to our next section. Thanks for hearing.
Well, Kath, thank you very much for that story on Balaam and his donkey. He really was not aware of what was going on around him. He was reacting to his desire to get there for that reward and that money, and he really wasn't aware of the danger around him, just like, again, enablers and codependents, just running headlong into reacting in the addict's life and in their lives and maybe actually causing more chaos and putting themselves and maybe even their addict in harm's way.
I agree.
Yeah, yep. Very good. Thank you very much. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show so far. We've defined reacting. We've defined acting. We have turned around and gave you a list of recognizing and becoming aware of the signs of reacting. And we hope you enjoy that. And then, of course, Kathy's last piece on Balaam and examples of reacting and not being aware of our environment around. Now we're going to help you by going into our next section, which is how to stop reacting. How do we do that? We want to act in accordance with our own values, morals, and ethics in a way that is more dignified as adults and so on. So that's what our next step is here. So how to stop reacting and act.
Yeah, hopefully this will help us be smarter than a donkey, not like Balaam. The donkey was smarter than he was.
Yeah, the donkey knew what was going on.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so how to stop reacting and act or respond. So learning to act instead of react is one skill that will help you cope better than most anything else, any other tool you can learn as a friend or family member of one battling addictions.
Yeah.
Or just in general in life, dealing with people and responsibilities and relationships.
Yeah, because you may be reacting at work.
Reacting and acting.
In the home,
you need it.
Doesn't have to be just with the addict.
No,
yeah, you could be a person who's so habitual and you're overreacting or reacting to things that, yeah, you take it throughout life.
This is life skills here.
Well, here's the first thing you need to do. And it's a challenge. You ready for this? You have to quiet your mind down. And you can quiet your mind down. Trying to find this quiet state of being. You want to be able to do they call it a conscious doing. A conscious doing means I'm aware of what I'm about to say. I'm aware of what's happening around me, whether it's the addict or at work or family interacting with me. I am aware of what's going on and how I really feel about that and how my values and what I would really want to do about that if I was in a state of peace and quietness instead of reacting out of the moment, you know, being swayed this way or that way by our emotions and by the event. No, we can connect with our values and ethics. There's many reasons to take this approach of being quiet. But one of the most important is that it eliminate your role as an enabler. If I learn to be quiet and be in touch with how I my values, what I really would want to see done here, and really what how to take care of myself, then it's going to improve my relationships with others. It's going to remove me from being that enabler.
Yeah, learning to act instead of react is a really big way to take control of your life and your situation and not be a victim of your loved one or the other person's behavior.
Yeah, because a lot of times we are reacting to them and you know their behavior instead of what really we want to do. So again, if you're acting because of your values, then you're basically more at peace with it, and you could say that you're not being moved by the string. You're not like a puppet being moved by these strings of your addict in your life.
Yeah.
You know, they're yanking your chain. You ever hear that? They're yanking their chain. Now listen, just because we're saying, you know, you could turn around and be more in control of your life and less manipulated by your addict doesn't mean we're not asking you to be compassionate.
Correct.
You can still be a compassionate, loving person, but you don't always have to be reactive. That addict knocks on your door and asks for a room for the night. You don't have to overreact to that like you did in the past.
Correct.
You know, and we're going to talk about what you could do going on. So the first step is really to calm down, and to do that.
Yeah, here are some of the tips to slow down the intensity and the reaction. So number one is pause. Put a pause button on your reaction by first just noticing what's going on and doing nothing. Just pause. Recognize that we could be telling ourselves things are terrible, a tragedy, or the end of the world.
Right. So you see,
that's probably not the case.
Right. So you have to pause. The addict's going to come to your door. I just lost my job. You're going to want to react. Oh my God, I got to do something. I got to fix this. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I don't know. My husband's doing this. I got to do this. The house is under total repair. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to find him an apartment right now. Let me get anything.
Oh,
what's he going to do?
Goodness.
Where's he going to stay tonight? I don't understand. What am I going to do?
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, that's good, honey.
am I reacting?
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, a little bit. You know what? First of all, you're probably freaking out telling yourself, I can't imagine myself not reacting to my addict coming to the door to say they just lost their job. But I'm telling you, I need you to I don't need you actually to do it, but I want you to concentrate on pause. So when that addict comes to your door.
The first thing is pause.
Pause. He comes to your door, she comes to your door and says, I lost my job. Say nothing. Nothing.
You're jumping ahead. That's in a couple of them.
Do nothing.
Yeah, okay.
Say nothing. Right? And then you're saying, not only do you say nothing, you said the next step is recognize what you're telling yourself in your head because of what you just heard from them.
Right.
What are you about to say? Because most likely it's enabling, dysfunctional, and unhealthy about what you're about to say. That's why you're an enabler and codependent. That's why you're listening to the show.
So next thing is to check your feelings. Are you feeling anxious, afraid, worry, indignant, outraged, rejection, sorry for yourself?
Right. That goes recognize what you're telling yourself.
You know,
that's
right. Check what you're feeling.
Yeah. And then ask yourself, are you reacting? You know, am I about to react? Because remember, you're not supposed to say anything. So you pause, you say nothing, you reflect, you recognize what's going on internally. Kathy just went through them, anxious, afraid, or so on. And so then you have to ask yourself, are all of those about to be reactive type of in exchange with that person? You see?
Right. Yeah. So the number two is take a deep breath, slowly.
Slowly, deep breath, not like real quick.
Maybe take another couple deep, slow, 3-4 breaths to help yourself calm down. Now would be a great time, since you're probably dying to take action. Your action could be to pray. So pray, ask the Lord, what do I do in this situation?
Now, you may be standing there with the attic on the front porch while this is going on. So the prayer may be in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
So the point is, you're going to stand in the attic, is going to be just looking at you, and you say, I need a few minutes here. Just pause.
And remember
that. Take a deep breath.
Yeah, remember that forfeiting our peace doesn't help. You know, being in a state of anxiety.
Yeah, that doesn't help. Right, because you just got done talking about Balaam, right? And
yeah.
And he wanted to get to where he wanted to go to gratify himself, get
true.
The money.
Right. And so right? What was he doing? Beating his donkey.
He's reacting.
Yeah.
He's beating donkey. Was that a healthy thing to do?
He might have recognized the fact that this has been a faithful donkey, and if she's stopping, there may be something wrong.
Yeah. And if he would have recognized, self-reflected and recognized that he's reacting to the money, then he might have stopped and took a deep breath, said a little prayer and say, what's going on here, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Balaam could have self-reflected and saved himself, you know, this event that was about to happen. You could maybe save yourself from a headache and an event that's about to happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So here's the challenge then, right? Because we're looking at slowing down.
Pause.
Do nothing. Say nothing. Mm-hmm. Recognize what you're about to respond. You got to listen to what I'm saying. Write these down. I got to self-reflect about what I'm about to respond with. And recognize that normally I would scream here, I would rant, I would rage, I would give one of those, you know, hey, how good are we as enablers? We give that this sigh, right? Oh no, oh man, or we're all upset, or you know, curse, or you know, we show that we're flushed. We're showing all of these signs of not being at peace.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we react. So
mm-hmm.
Stop, pause, say nothing. Reflect about what you're about to do, what's coming out to you. Take a deep breath, slow down. Here's your challenge. You're trying to get yourself to come to a state of peace, to be comfortable with the event that's about to exchange between you two, to be comfortable in control. Listen, you do not have to take on somebody else's emotional state of being. You know, just because they come to you with their life in chaos, you do not have to be in a life of chaos. So number 3, keep your mouth closed.
These are really hard.
They are hard.
So we're pausing, we're taking deep breaths, and we're keeping our mouth closed.
Yeah.
These are really hard.
Yeah, do not speak. Feel yourself calming down. These are your first objectives. We don't have to, listen, we just turned around and said, Kathy just said, we don't have to forfeit our peace.
Right?
We don't have to. We don't have to become in a world of chaos because their world is in chaos. We don't have to forfeit our peace. We could stay in a state of peace and be comfortable with things going around us. We don't have to take on somebody else's. Keep your mouth shut. Calm down, because we don't also have to forfeit our power to think and feel.
Mm-hmm.
If we're reacting to
then
some
you
old
already
feelings,
give that up.
You've already given that power up, and you're reacting, and you're in a state of reacting. Our own feelings are our feelings, and our feelings are legitimate. But you have to figure out what's triggering your feelings to react to that addict coming to your front door and saying, I lost my job.
Mm-hmm.
You see, are you reacting because your feelings feel like you have to save them? Are you reacting because you feel guilt and shame in your past life because you went through a divorce and now this child's doing drugs and you're blaming yourself? Guilt, blame, shame? Identify why you're going to react in such a negative way instead of keeping centered and at peace with what's taking place here.
And don't take things so personal.
Yeah, don't.
And and remember, just think about what's going on here. Another thing is to recognize that you have choices. You know, reacting comes from not thinking, and you don't think you have any other option but to react. But when you realize that you always have choices, you can remember to consider them and the consequences they bring before you move forward.
Yeah, so you have choices. And that brings us back to the next thing, to number 4. Decide what you need to do. Talk about Kathy saying you have choices. A lot of times you're reactive because you're actually mad they lost their job. So you actually don't know who yourself is. And you're so confused, you just want to react to that immediate piece of news. I lost my job. And you're just responding to that. Instead, you need to decide what you need to do as a person.
For
what do
you.
I need to for you?
Yeah.
Do you want the child leaving your house? No. Well, then no. I don't need to react to their situation and put myself out. They're 26 years old. They're 32 years old. You know, I was just saying to my wife, I said, what happens if my neighbor calls me up and I just happen to be talking to my neighbor? Yeah, so how's it going, John? Yeah, it's going fine. Oh, my wife lost her job this week. Am I going to react to that the same way you do your son?
No.
I'm going to say, oh my God, John, let me get the classifieds out. Holy cow, I can't believe it. What, is your wife irresponsible? What's happening here? I can't believe.
No. We're just going to say, oh man, that sucks. I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, John. Yeah. You know, maybe we'll keep our eyes open if a job opens up. We hear something about it. But no, I'm not going to go figuring out his wife's life. We do the same thing with our addict. We think that we have to solve and clean up their life instantaneously. They're 20-some, 30 years old. It doesn't have to be instantaneous. So you decide what you need to do, and it could take an hour or a day. You may say to your addict, I don't know what you're going to do tonight. I said, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. So what's your plans for tonight? Matter of fact, we said earlier, we had the young lady come over. She said, they're kicking me out of my house, my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't sit there and resolve her problem. We said, oh, so what are you going to do about it? Where are you? How are you going to take care of yourself? You got any plans? You got a place to stay? That's all. I'm just asking questions. Let them figure it out. So your addict son's sitting in the steps, and he turns around and gives you all that information. And you know, he says, "No, I don't know. Maybe I go over to my friend's. All right, that's good. Sounds like a plan for me. You don't have to offer your house. And if the addict says, can I come home? You could decide what you need and say no." Yeah, so I could say no. You don't have. I could say no. I don't want you to be here. I'm just asking. I'm sorry to hear that. How are you going to work on that? Where are you going to go? What's your plans? Your son's coming to your front door just to share with you, your addict. He's coming to the front door to share with you, just as if your neighbor called you on the phone and shared with you. And what would you say to them? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You got any plans? Your wife got anything work in the works to find a job? Same thing with my addict. That's what I'm going to say. You have to decide what you need before you speak. You hear what I'm saying? Because what we're talking about. Stop. No speaking. Calm down. Deep breath. Prayer. Getting to a place of comfort and peace. Then speak. So that means you're going to need to know ahead of time, you know, what your values, ethics, morals are before you speak. So one of our goals are going to be then is...
One of your goals is that you're deciding what to do from a space of peace. Remember what you are responsible for, and you're not setting someone else straight. Your responsibility is to get yourself in that space, in that peaceful space.
Yeah, it's not my responsibility for my neighbor's wife. Mm-hmm. It's not my responsibility for my 20-some-year-old or 30-year-old addict. It's not my responsibility to find him a place, an apartment. He's old enough now to do it. And by me doing it, as I'm enabling him not to learn how to do it. That's how we're hurting him. So what do we need to do then? Because remember, my last statement is you need to take care of yourself and before you speak. So you need to know what you need before you speak. So really, you should already know if your son ever comes home or your addict ever comes home without a place to live. You should know ahead of time whether or not your house is going to be available for that craziness or addiction in your home ahead of time. So here's what you want to do. You want to make a plan with your family, your healthy family, because they're in the same position you are. This addict is damaging you and damaging your other children and your spouse and making your marriage a hell. And so you need to turn around with your family and make a plan of what you would do in any situation with this addict so that you're all on the same page and you'll be all then acting from a position of values, morals, and ethics that you guys decided and not reacting to the event. So you decide what you're going to do when your addict comes and wants money, a ride, a place to live, or bailed out of jail ahead of time. Write it down. And this way you have your family, you have support.
Exactly. And the next thing is decide what you will no longer tolerate. So you decide ahead of time with your family, you know, with your own thinking process, what you're going to no more dealing with abusive behavior, no more chasing them around, seeing where they're at.
Yeah, I agree. What you're doing here is really putting the ball in your court. You're coming from a place of action. You know, you defined who you are. You defined your standards. You defined what you're going to tolerate, and you're going to decide what you're going to do in relationship to all the things they could throw your way, wanting money, rides, bail out of jail, so on. So you're deciding all of that. So you're taking control of your life. You're taking it back, and you're acting. It's better to act from a position of one's own power than reacting to the loved one's addiction. You start living your life for you. And the rest of your life for your family, because your family's being hurt. Are you spending time with the rest of your family, your spouse, your kids? You should be going on vacation. You go out to movies, out to dinner. You know, you got to stop living for this addict. The addict has choices. They have resources available for them, and they need to make the choice to go to those resources and take advantage of them. It's not up to you to fix them.
And the next step is to create 2020 vision. In our last show, we talked to John, a recovering addict, and one of his thought processes was to play the tape. And what he did was play a tape about if he does this, what will happen tomorrow, the next day, 2 weeks from now. And that's what creating a 2020 vision is look back, look forward, and then look back as to what that choice that you made is going to affect what's going on. So, you know.
Yeah. Like if, for instance, I'm going to play the tape. If I allow the addict in my house.
Yeah,
play that forward. Is that enabling him how to become
right.
independent?
Yeah.
To hold a job? No. If I go out and buy him drugs or medication, and you guys do it, am I enabling him to be healthy going forward?
Right.
No.
Right.
So, and here's another tip. When you speak softly. Do not get caught up in the anxiety intensity of the moment. Speak slowly. Speak softly. Lower your voice. Talk to them one-on-one, personal eye contact, all right? We don't have to be afraid of this addict just because they come at us with a lot of anger and intensity. We could be calm in those situations.
And number six is be determined to take contempt out of your voice and your actions.
Our emotions tell us something. And so we're going to have emotions, but we have to sort through those emotions and make sure they're not coming from some past history of fear, guilt, shame. But emotions tell us things. Tells us fear, tells us happiness, tells us joy or sadness. And what we want to do is make sure we understand our emotions as we react to the addict in our lives. And we want to determine whether our action in relationship to that addict is a reaction from past or whether they're healthy emotions. So you know what? You need to acknowledge your success every time you're able to. Every time you're able to interact with that addict with respect in a calm, peaceful way. Here's what you need to do. Stop giving yourself permission to be reactive.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Yeah. No more. Mm-hmm. It's not an option to be reactive. That addict is acting crazy, coming into your life acting crazy. You do not have to do that and react in that way. So stop giving yourself permission to be reactive. So look, we went through a whole bunch of things tonight. And how to handle yourself with defining reaction and action, recognizing, be aware of signs of them. We talked about an example with Balaam and his donkey of how he reacted and overreacted and didn't act in a proper way. We talked just now about how to stop reacting, come up with a family plan, be at peace, calm down, find that center, speak softly. So I hope that tonight you can see that you could probably work on some of these areas. Take responsibility for the way you're going to act to the addict in your life in a healthy way, taking care of you and your family and trusting that that addict has enough resources out there to take care of themselves, to learn to become the adults that are functioning in society today. They could do what they need to do. If you do this, your life will be more content. You will be more at peace with your life, even if your addict has not chosen yet to get into recovery and to be healthy. So Kathy and I just want to thank you. We hope you enjoyed this show, Reacting and Acting.
Check our Facebook page because we're going to put a bonus.
Families and recoveries. Just type that in on Facebook. And we got a bonus. A young girl, 16 years old, gave her story at church of how she was acting and reacting. And we're going to share that story with you on our Facebook page. Thank you very much.